The Joyride.
OFM, the sound of your life, and you're locked onto The Joyride. And this afternoon, it is my immense pleasure and such a privilege to have one of my rock heroes on the show this afternoon, Mr. Art Matthews, all the way from Hout Bay in beautiful Cape Town. How are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Wonderful. And it seems like you keep busy, man. You're busy with a whole lot of things. When we see you on top of roofs performing to people, then you're moving around. I read somewhere that you've moved more than 30 times, taking everyone, your dogs and everyone with you. Life just gets boring, eh? What are you busy with at the moment?
Yeah, I like to keep it interesting, I guess. But I did finally settle down in Cape Town. I bought a beautiful heritage building here about 7 years ago. But Mum actually found it on the website. Trust Mum to find the place that I'll find to get my favorite wreck.
Google Maps will find you.
Yeah, exactly. So I've been here, but yeah, she's so busy. I've been keeping on with music. I think a big part of my focus has been, I bought a boat for my sins, which one should never do. And can I just tell all the listeners, please don't ever buy one. But most importantly, don't ever buy one 2 months before a pandemic hits, which is exactly what I managed to do. And so I did that, and I've been working on her for well over 3 years now.
Oh, wow.
And it's just been an absolute labor of love, but it's kept me beyond busy. And the latest news of that is that in the middle of this year, I decided to enter the Cape to Rio race, and that leaves on the 2nd of January. And to tell you what needs to be done to do that is just, we don't have enough airtime ever available. It's just crazy. Yeah.
But speaking of which, one of your very, very good friends, Chris Burtish, sailed over the ocean, 6,500 kilometers. And one of the big reasons why we're talking to you today is a very special occasion this year. 25th year since the release of Shallow Waters, your biggest hit ever. And when your friend crossed the ocean, arrived on the other side, what was he playing?
Can you believe it? It was so cool to see him from the world press that he was blaring Shallow Waters, from his tiny little boat. It was just the coolest thing.
So did you get some inspiration from him? Is that why you want to do this sailing around the world?
Not entirely. I can't quite explain where this came from. I didn't come from like a sailing family background. It just kind of happened upon it. I got my personal skipper yacht master license in 2010 just because I felt like, why do we only have car licenses? I think we should have more of these things, you know? And so it was on a whim, and then it advanced from there. But Chris was certainly instrumental. He's been an inspiration of mine, and he actually introduced me to the broker who sold me the boat.
So you see.
I don't know whether to clap him or hug him, but either way.
Still friends, at least.
We still remain friends.
Oh, man. So 25 years later, what a song and what a release. I must compliment you. And the guys that worked with you on the track, firstly, I want to know, how did you choose them? Arno Carstens, Kurt Darren, how did he make it, huh? Please give us the insight on that.
Look, I mean, Kurt and I have been friends for ages. I adore the guy. I mean, so we are such big friends. And when I told him about the project that was now developing, it was an evening at his house over a bry, and he basically dead said me. He said, I'm coming over Cape Town, I'm going to be on it. I was like, dude, 100%, why wouldn't you? And it's kind of how the whole idea sort of was around a bry, you know, like all good South African ideas start. And it just started like with the idea of maybe having one person collaborate, or you know, maybe just someone else just to celebrate it. And it turned out to be the beast that it is now.
And what an album that was. All Comes Round. I think that summer I listened to that album all the way down to Cape Town and all the way back. You know, us Free Staters, we have to drive far to get to the ocean. And it's just been in my collection forever. What is your dream for this 25-year release?
You know, it's been, there's no dream. For me, it's more just witnessing, you know, the time period that's happened, you know, between, and it's just like a tip of the cap to how long that song to the test of time. So there's no, like, I have no, there's nothing about outcome about it for me. I've just enjoyed the process. I think it's a nice little tip, as I say, and an acknowledgement of what that song has been to us, and to obviously clearly the rest of the industry, because you know, no one flinched when I asked it to go on board, because I do know it is a part of that kind of generation.
The spokesperson of the oomblik, where?
Yeah, 100%.
So, do you still write?
Yes, you'll find you battle to write when you're busy fixing a boat.
Because I also read that you say you never sit down down to write. So how do you write? If it's not on the boat, how does that process work for you?
That's the thing. There is a slight thing about that, but it does require to at least sit down a little bit and try and focus, which I have not done terribly much. So it's usually when inspiration is at its peak, and it's usually at 3 o'clock in the morning when I can't sleep, and then I'm forced to go and do whatever's in my head. But I will be writing. I'm taking the exact studio that I recorded Impossible Machines on in my dungeon. I'm taking that on board, and so I'll be writing the whole way to Rio. And I have a song that I'm releasing the week after I leave, and it's my first ever environmental song that also features Ross Learmonth from Found Circle, and it's going to be beautiful. I'm so excited about it. So there's plenty in the works, and I suspect by the time I get to Rio, I should have a nice fresh body of work.
Two questions that I really wanted to ask you, because you're the most qualified to answer them, I suspect, at the moment. Do you think we still have a scene in South Africa?
Listen, there's always got to be hope, just in general, if you think about what we're encountering as humans on the planet at the moment. But as far as the scene is concerned, my answer is usually pretty stock standard. You know, when we, in the 90s, there were like, let's call it 6 or 10 prolific bands who were out there, and they were all vetted. You had to go through a record company, you had to go through a lawyer or something. And so the process was pretty like one-sided. And we fortunately managed to kind of capture the market, which was already tiny in that genre. Okay. Even in the 90s, it was tiny, never mind before the big departure of all the expats. And what has happened, unfortunately and fortunately, is the talent pool has grown like you can't believe. And now anyone with an iPhone can submit a song to a radio station. And there is a ton of talent. Unfortunately, that already very small market that we had has dwindled. So those numbers are low. And, you know, as far as the scene is concerned, there's now a lot of bands competing for the same amount of people, which is actually lesser. So there's good and bad news in that. One is that there's a lot of talent. We've always had a lot of talent, and finally they're able to be exposed and get some, you know, get the limelight that they are due. But unfortunately, the actual market for this particular genre that we're in has not grown exponentially like the talent has.
Let's just hope they still use guitars and drums, man. That's the biggest hope we can
have. That's all we can hope for, man. Just keep it real. Keep it rock and roll.
And I mean, one of your big inspirations, a guy like Cat Stevens. And then you talk about someone like Rodriguez, who you covered, and him actually hearing your version and complimenting you on it. What does something like that do for an artist, especially, I wouldn't say in the beginning of your career, but just as you start skyrocketing, and then someone like that says something like that to you, what does that do to your confidence?
Oh, yeah, it's so cool. That was just such a treat. You know, we didn't know. We were actually doing it as a tribute because we thought he had passed.
Yeah, everyone thought he had gone, and then they went and found him for us.
and I will say that I think we had some part to play, considering it was a big number one around the country, and he came to the country literally weeks later, it's hard to think that we didn't have to play some part in that, and I'm glad we could. But what an absolute boost, the fact that he approved and loved it and had subsequent success. Well-deserved success thereafter. It's just a great feel-good story.
And then right at the end of this, because I got to let you go finish your boat, and you don't really want to do that if you have such a wonderful career as you had, but I want to ask you, if there's one show or one instant in your career that you could relive, what would it be?
Oh, true spirit. I can't say that. There have been so many beautiful moments, and each of them have been special. I don't know about reliving any of them, because they've all just been unique and they're a part of my story. The good and bad shows have all defined who I am today, and I'm at the place in my life where I'm just grateful to continue to still be able to do it.
And now you can build a boat and sail across the ocean.
and sail and sing on a boat. Why not?
Art Matthews, thank you so much for spending time with us. Good luck with the Cape to Rio, and good luck with the boat. Send us a picture of the christening, okay?
We will. If people want to check it out, you can go to Instagram and type in the word follow Tim, and you'll be able to see the boat and her progress.
Wonderful. Have a great one. All the best.
Thanks so much, mate.
The Joyride with Nikku, Nikki, Kayla, and JB on CoFM. Made possible by Arinel Pharmacy Group. Family values. Values for the whole family.